And you won't need this before then?
Chip one?
No, I was born in London.
Oh, London. Do you want me to put that down?
Yeah. I'm going to leave this with you so you have the information about what's on the street.
Your band membership would be chip one, there. Eh?
Yes. Band number 1153.
No, we don't need to do that. We need chip one. Your date of birth?
November 6, 1942. Muncie Post Office. That's all. NOL 1YO.
NOL?
Uh-huh.
1YO.
1. Have you got 1YO?
1YO.
Oh, 1YO.
Yeah.
Do you want to start the interview? Or do you want me to? It's up to you.
It doesn't matter. Who did it last time?
We both did it. We've been both doing most of them back
no,
and forth,
I'll
so.
Oh, good.
I'll pop them every once in a while.
How do you say your last name?
My last name is said Jib, as if it's spelled J-I-B.
Oh,
it's a Polish
uh-huh.
name. It's Polish for mushrooms.
Oh! Do you
See,
like mushrooms?
I love mushrooms. I even love the mushroom I married. So. Oh.
Well, that's nice. Is Riley, is that your maiden?
That's my maiden.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I see more and more women doing that. I would have been Paulus Wilson if I'd have done it.
What type of beadwork do you do? I know you do the freehand. Is there any other kind of beadwork you do?
Daisy chains. Mm. That's freehand too.
Mm-hmm. Is there any other kind of leather work or quilt work?
No.
Put quilt in your work?
No.
Okay, so it would be just freehand beadwork, daisy chain. Okay, maybe you can tell us a little bit about yourself, your name, where you were born, your age.
Is this on now?
Mm-hmm. It's on.
Oh, yeah, okay. My name is Audrey Wilson. I was born in London, Ontario, November 6, 1942. I guess that makes me 44 years old now. I have three children. I'm divorced. Did I say three children? I've got four children.
One of them's gonna be it.
Which one did you forget?
Well, I won't say, so then it won't create a problem. I've worked at many different jobs over the years. Around 1971, I went to night school and I learned how to make daisy chains at a beading class there, and they attempted to teach us how to bead on a loom, which I didn't care for too much. And since 1971, I've been working on and off at different jobs, and it's just been the last couple of years since my children have grown up and moved away that I've had the time to sort of play with a hobby I liked. And when I started getting back to my beadwork again, I decided I wanted to do a whole different kind of beadwork, make pictures and possibly frame them and see what I could come up with. Well, I did three or four pictures and people seemed to like them, so I just started creating more, designing and trying to find better beads all the time, better materials.
Why did you want to learn beadwork? What made you interested?
Beads give me a freedom of expression, freedom, something to express that sometimes what I feel, or I want to put what I think or what I feel into my beadwork. Sometimes it comes out like one of my favorite ones is Spiritual Dawn, and it's a Native person praying to the sun with other meaning to it with the lines involved. It was a way for me to show people maybe just little bits of our tradition in a form different from any other. There's a lot of painters who do that.
Mm-hmm. What do you feel is more important to you, like in your beadwork? Do you have a certain piece that's really important, or do you keep getting different ideas as you go along, as you progress with your beadwork?
Well, my favorite piece, like I say, is Spiritual Dawn, and it's becoming fairly popular, and it's becoming connected with me. But I'm always coming up with new ideas. I've got one, and there's only one I've made of it. It's called Together. It's a Native man and woman together in the sunset. And there's the whole story behind that. I've got ideas in my head for waiting woman in silhouette, crying woman, warrior feathers, things like that. And I haven't, although I've got the idea and I can draw it on paper, I haven't actually figured out exactly what colors I'm going to use yet or anything, or the exact, maybe I haven't really got the exact feeling I want to put into it. But as I get these ideas, I write them down.
Do you ever teach anybody your beadwork, your style of work?
No, I haven't. I would be willing to, though. I don't feel it's something I want to keep just for myself. I could imagine if another person, I would imagine it would be anyone who does beadwork could just look at my work and do it themselves. I'm sure they could, and with a little bit of practice they'd get good at it even. But I could imagine the different designs that they'd come up with that would be so different from mine. Just because a person were to do beadwork similar to mine, I'm pretty sure it doesn't mean that they would be using the same designs.
What does your family think about your beadwork or the work that you do?
Well, I've got four children, like I say. The oldest is 26, and the youngest is going to be 13 Saturday. So I have a great age group to sort of criticize me. And all of them think it's really beautiful, and they don't think I charge enough, and there's some things they want me to keep, don't give that away, or... But I think on the whole, they've told me that they're proud of me and the things that I do.
What does the community do to show how they feel about your work?
Well, the community... I would like to have my band council buy something and put it in our council chambers. That hasn't happened yet. But the school, our school on the reserve here, has bought two of my pieces, and they're hanging in the hall all the time, which I think is really good. And then usually at Christmas time, when everybody wants a little extra money, I take a few pieces up, and the teachers usually buy them for gifts. Now, the band office hasn't completely ignored me. I don't want to say that that they do. The band office itself has purchased two or three of my pieces.
So you said the band office had bought...
Yes, the band office had purchased two or three of my pieces to give to members. Like one, for instance, it was Manson Ireland in Oneida. He was retiring from the AIAI, and they bought a piece of mine to give to him as a parting gift. And there was another gift bought for a lady in a similar situation in Sarnia. And
they've got their truck right out front.
And that's sort of, I guess, community oriented, where the interest is shown.
Yeah.
And it's not a lot yet, but it's nice. I mean, I'm not complaining.
Yeah.
You know, it's nice to know that they appreciate enough to want to buy something to give.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What do you know the meaning of the colors that you use?
No, I go purely on what I like. And I figure if I like it, hopefully it'll be pleasing to somebody else. I would really like to learn that. I would like to know, I've learned over the years that red, black, and white are Chippewa colors. And I was told different little legends about not mixing yellow and black together because that was supposed to mean death or something. But I had made so many things like that in the past that I don't want to tempt fate, but...
but the bear colors are red, green, and yellow.
Bear? Red, green, and yellow? I should be ready to get stumped for myself.
The black actually is a man's color.
Uh-huh.
I've got the meaning of the colors at home, but black is one part of it is it's a man's color, and the main colors
red, green, and what was it? Red, green, and black.
Red, green, and yellow.
Oh, yellow.
And they do use black in there, but not as much black as they do.
It's not the predominant color.
No, I think the color is green.
The predominant. Mm-hmm.
Green, red, and then red, and then yellow.
And that's the bear colors. Mm-hmm. That's something I'd like to know. Like Nimki, my son, he comes home from school and he tells me little legends and whatnot. I mean, I don't think there's any of us unless we've had the opportunity to study it in the past that really knows a lot about our traditions and colors and legends, and unless they've really studied it over the years. I've heard this and that over the years, but it's never anything that I've really retained, let's say.
Maybe because it wasn't that pretty.
Yeah. Well, I think
if someone tells me something and if I can remember it, then I know that it was meant for me to remember.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But if I can't remember it, I don't worry about it because it may be meant for someone else. So. How has the crafts changed since you began working? Have you seen a change in any crafts? Making their designs, the symbols, the colors? Or
you mean my own or
anybody's, yours or your own? Or
that's one thing I really try not to do is to compare my work to anybody else's, because I feel like everybody's beadwork is their own expression. And over the years I've found that it doesn't create good feelings. It really doesn't, because, and I don't think it's fair to compare anybody's. We talked about that at that meeting, you remember? You can zap mm-hmm. that part out, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the changing of designs, I know in my own work, you would be very surprised. I wished I had something that was older. The designs I make, I don't copy from anybody else. They're all... Usually I don't even know what design I'm going to end up with until I work at it a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden the colors and everything just fall into place and I've got a design.
Mm-hmm.
If I like a design like this one, I'll use that with different color combinations, like a dark blue to a light blue. Now that turns out really nice with that scheme. I've used a turquoise and white in this one. And it looks beautiful, you know. So if I like a design, I like to usually keep something of it, but I'll change the colors.
Mm-hmm. What kinds of things, when you were a girl, did you see being done around here in the land?
Now this would really surprise you. I never knew one person who did beadwork. My mother knitted, my grandmother knitted, but not one person in my family that I knew of did beadwork. not one.
So you see more beadwork being done now than
mm-hmm.
than you did when you were a girl?
Yes.
How do you feel about that?
Well, I think it's a real shame because I know how I feel about my beadwork, and I know just from the stories I've read about the old times. I collect books about Indians too, and it doesn't matter if they're fiction or nonfiction either, because even the fiction writers did a little bit of research, so they've got might have a touch of realism to any of it. When they talk about in those books how they did the beadwork on their husbands' shirts and pants or whatever for ceremonies and going to war, different things they wore, I mean, they were all beadwork. They were all, it sounded like a lot of jackets and breech cloths and whatever were encrusted with beads of different designs. So I feel like the beadwork we do today, we've sort of modernized it, but every once in a while I see a dancer at a powwow and I could just imagine how beautiful it must have been and how almost every woman must have done beadwork. And it became like a society, I'm sure, in different tribes. I would imagine the books I read about were mostly about the Sioux, and they had different societies within it. And the women had one too, where they would even bring their work, they would bring their work together, they'd work together on it, and then they'd have not a real competition, but sort of a show of what they had done. And it was just a way of making each person strive harder. They used their dreams, I do that too. They used their dreams, the things they see in their dreams, maybe for designs, or color schemes even, or something that inspires them. It could have been part of a vision, it could have been part of something they seen when they went for a walk through the bush.
And yet most beaters now work pretty much by themselves. But you're an exception because your mother's in the house with you.
No.
And the two of you do some,
no.
May not work on the same piece, but at least you're working in the same room together.
No?
No?
We're separated. No, I go in the dining room and she goes in the living room or she goes in the bedroom, but I don't work with anybody.
You need a high concentration.
Yeah.
Like, my children have gotten used to me around here. I have to admit, there's some days I don't stop to cook supper. But my children aren't babies anymore either. They can once in a while make themselves a quick meal or whatever. They appreciate me more.
That's right.
But they can have the TV going or whatever, you know. And I'm in tune with everything that's going on around me, but my main my main concentration is on my beadwork.
Yeah.
And they know it. I mean, if they want to talk to me, they'll come and talk to me. But if I want to ask a question about something that's on TV, they don't think I'm listening. I'll say, well, what happened? I heard what she said, but I didn't see it. They'll tell me, and that's all. That's it. They know that I'm working on this, but my mind is also, like my radio, when I'm by myself in a house, my radio is on all the time. And I listen to the news or the songs or whatever, but my main concentration is my beads.
You know, her circle of life is in that. Her
mm-hmm.
beadwork, from what she just
mm-hmm.
said. Her kids appreciate you more. When you're doing beadwork and your kids are there and they're not bothering you all the time or they're not interfering with what you're doing, it's because you're teaching me that. And I hope so. Because you have patience with your beadwork, they get patience from you by watching what you're doing.
Well, I know I've given all of them gifts of beadwork, and I know how they feel about those gifts, and it makes me feel particularly happy. Like, even my son, I gave him the first watch band I ever made, and it wasn't the most perfectly made watch band. Because your first one, you're just learning. Even your second and third maybe are still not perfected to what you want. But it was, it got kind of rough looking because he wore it all the time. Fixing cars, anything, he wore it all the time. And it started to look like it. But he still keeps it. He doesn't wear it anymore, but it's something. I said, well, look, I'll repair it for you. I'll clean it and repair it. No, I want it just the way it is. So in that way, and then my girls, they've got pictures, and they keep them separate.
Do you feel that the...
I'm going to stop for just a second, because I didn't even notice the radio until you mentioned it.
That thing works quite amazingly.
Yeah, it does. The sound is good. These little ones are nice. I would like to hear about the design on your favorite piece and how that design came for you, if you were willing to share
that.
She talked about some of it, but, you know, about spiritual dawn, but she didn't, you know, maybe if you feel comfortable, what the symbols are for you and...
Spiritual dawn, it was surprising. It was a year and a month ago now. It was May 1986 when I first made this design. I sat down here right where I am now, and I had a piece of paper. And I thought, well, I'd like to make a new design. I was ready for a new design, something different. It seems really amazing to me that I just sat down and I drew a rough outline of what I wanted. I drew an inner circle first, and I drew what I thought was a picture of a man praying with his hands up. Now, I had no idea of colors or anything at this point. And when I got to I made another circle outside of that one. And it looked too bare, and I decided I'd put little lines in there. These lines to me represent energy or power, and it was meant to be the energy or the power of the prayer to the native person with the sun behind it. And as the colors developed, well, that's how it turned out. It was the native person praying to the sun early in the morning, and there was a show of energy around him. That's so simple. To me, it's so simple. And that first night when I started that, I drew the picture out. It was only about 4 inches across. It was a small spiritual dawn. It was about 4 inches across. You know, I started beating that. It must have been about 9 o'clock at night. And I beat it till about 1:30 in the morning. And I had it, what I figured, about half done. And I knew I had to go to sleep. I knew I was tired, so I did. But the next morning, the first thing I did was get at it again, and I worked till I finished it. So in about a matter of 24 hours, I had this, my first spiritual dawn done. And even when I went to bed, I was just thinking about it, how it was developing and how it was gonna look. And I could imagine it in my mind, and I just wanted to see it in beads. But since then, I enlarged the spiritual dawn in June of 1986 to about 6.5 inches across. It's become a fairly favorite design of different people. I've got this design is, I've not made that many of it yet, but I've got one in British Columbia and a few different places around here. But I feel the same way about each picture I draw or I want a bead. I've got my latest one that I designed was my Bear Clan peace pipe. Now, there might be people in the Bear Clan who say, hey, that isn't what our peace pipe would look like. And I don't pretend to be authentic to anybody else's ideas. These are only my own. Mm-hmm. And it's what I want to project. I'm a member of the Bear Clan from Oneida. And if I were to have a peace pipe, this is what I'd like it to look like. And any design I have is like that. It's all my own idea. It's what I think or what I feel or what I would like.
When you first came out with that,